Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Space Jams podcast. I'm your fantastic host, Jim Murphy, and today we have a very special guest, as we always do. Today we have Deputy Program Manager of NASA's Commercial Crew Program at NASA Kennedy Space Center, Dana Hutcherson. Dana, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Now, Dana, we're very excited to have you on here. You know, we've been waiting a couple months. We've been going back and forth with NASA for a little while, and finally, we've attained someone who's worthy of coming on our show, and we're very excited. Now, Dana, you know, she ain't no slouch, all right? She's coming on here. She's received numerous honors, including the On the Spot Awards, Group Achievement Awards. She's a Certificate of Commendation, NASA Space Flight Awareness Award. This could go on for miles. She's an owner of a tiki boat. She loves that. She graduated from Evans High School in Evans, Georgia. She received a Bachelor's of Science in Mechanical Engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta. And she also earned a Master's of Science, and am I getting this right, Industrial Engineering of Engineering Management?
That's correct. From just kind of mouthful. Yeah.
Nice. From the University of Central Florida in Orlando. She's here with us today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Crew 2 mission. We're going to talk a little bit about everything. We're not going to talk about science fiction because she's not into that. And that's okay. All right. It's all right. We don't have to be. It's actually funny. I'd say it's split about even, but I've interviewed a couple of people on here, and all of them have been into space. And I asked them if they're into science fiction, and half of them are like, not really. And so it's kind of an interesting study for me myself to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't really have much time for movies or things like that. So I think I'd rather be outside, I think, is my deal. So I'm not in.
That's not too a lot of them who do not like science fiction have said they like to be outside. So I think that's interesting, too. But Dana, now let's get into the good stuff. OK, so as a deputy program manager for the commercial program, could you tell us a little about what you do and what your job is?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I work with Commercial Crew Program, been working with them for almost 10 years now, and I've had various roles in the Commercial Crew Program, but now we are overseeing the contracts with both Boeing and SpaceX to fly astronauts back up to the International Space Station. So low Earth orbit, we're contracting a lot of the work that NASA used to do, and we're contracting it to both Boeing and SpaceX to provide these operational missions and fly our astronauts to the International Space Station back from American soil. So it's really a cool job to get to oversee that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that's one of the big things I wanted to talk to you about today was you started your space world back in the United, I want to say it was the United Space Alliance, I think is what I remember. And yeah. But then you, in 2007, you worked your way to NASA and you started working with the shuttles. Is that correct?
That's true. I actually started working with the space shuttle when I first came out of Georgia Tech. So fresh engineer, and I worked for United Space Alliance. I had a dream as a kid. I was like, of wanting to work in space industry. And so the way I could get my foot in the door, you know, I was relentless. I didn't take no for an answer. And I found a job with United Space Alliance. And I was actually working on the space shuttle at the time. So that was around the 2000 timeframe. And I started working off as what some people refer to as a tile engineer. So all the tiles on the bottom of the space shuttle, repairing them and getting them ready for the next mission. That's one of the things that I started working on with that. And then went into structures engineering. But yeah, after some time, a position opened up at NASA, totally different than what I was doing, but still working on the space shuttles. And I wanted a change, you know. I'm kind of every so often need a little change, a new challenge. I love learning something new. So I'm always trying to figure out what's next and what can I learn new. So yeah, I've been working on the space shuttle. I was working on it for a number of years, I guess about 11 years or so before I came over to the Commercial Crew Program. So human spaceflight is my passion, you know, and And I wanted to continue in that realm after the space shuttle retired.
That's great. Yeah, so I'm very interested. I think kind of maybe everyone goes through this in their industry, but you started off like hands-on working with the tiles and everything, and now you've come into like a management position, I believe, you know, more of like a, you know, functioning and a moderate or mediating or something like that. The word's there. I don't have it, but it's there. But do you have a preference to which one of those you enjoy? Are you more of like a, you know, like getting your hands dirty or like big picture stuff?
You know, I have to say I do like both, but one of the things that I've learned recently is I really love leading people. I love challenging people to do something that they don't think they can do, or, you know, and watching them grow too. And I love, you know, seeing people that have a passion for doing something, they just need a little extra nudge and they're shining as well. So I've found that that's become more rewarding, you know, because I've had a lot of experiences. I've learned a lot of different things. But I do miss the hardware. I do miss, you know, being on the floor. I'll tell a quick story. You know, when I was interviewing for a job with United Space Alliance, I was still in college, you know, looking for a job, and they brought me down to the Kennedy Space Center. And I went on a tour. And as I was walking out on, they were taking me around somewhere, and they said, "Hey, do you know where you are?" And I was like, "Not really." And they said, "Look up." And there's the shuttle was like right above me, you know, the orbiter. So I, you know, from that day on, I was like, "Oh, this is the best," you know, being with the orbiter, the thing that's flying in space, you know, it's just a cool moment. But I've learned a lot, you know, being with the hardware. And so now I think I can take a lot of those talents and helping people grow, you know, underneath me. So I enjoy that. And I appreciate people coming to me and asking me for help and what can I do, and growing and fostering people as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think the standing under the shuttle, that's pretty fun. Like just looking up and it's there, that's great. Yeah, I've said it a million times, but I fell in love with space because we went down to the Kennedy, you know, we went down to Cape Canaveral when I was young, and we saw Discovery fly its final flight. And that was pretty cool. And that's kind of why I fell in love with space, but also seeing the shuttle above me, you know, it's kind of a similar story. But yeah, those types of moments they're fantastic. That's great to hear. So you said in the beginning, we're bringing human spaceflight back to the U.S. soil. And there was about a 10-year drought there that we had going on where we were flying from, you know, we're flying on the Soyuz and we were doing all that with the cosmonauts and everything. Was there any change going from the shuttle to the commercial crew program? Is there like a change in policy or no? Is there a change in like the culture of NASA now that we wanted to come back?
Absolutely. You know, we've shifted the culture. This is something that NASA has embraced. You know, it may have been at first, it may have been a little bit like, how is this going to play out, working and contracting these companies to go and design and build their own spaceship, basically. And NASA is just overseeing the work. And we get to, you know, obviously we have our requirements. They have to satisfy the requirements to build that. We're watching along the way and helping them, providing our expertise as well. But it's a big shift of the way NASA has done business as far as being down and owning the designs and owning that architecture and all the test campaigns and everything. So this is now on both Boeing and SpaceX to design and build their own spaceships. So yeah, it's a huge shift. And what's very interesting is looking at what the agency has done since then and embracing that and looking at other areas where they could maybe play on some of this commercialization. So it's starting a trend. And, you know, it's you mentioned the drought, though. I will say, you know, it was probably one of the coolest moments for me to be able to see Demo 2 last year, about last May timeframe, when the SpaceX Dragon took Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley up to the space station. That was worth all of the 9 years of work and preparedness for us getting our teams ready. I tell you, that was probably one of the most remarkable moments since the space shuttle program, you know, and like you said, maybe a drought. I mean, we were working hard in the background, yeah. And it was pretty fantastic for us. I think it was pretty cool for America at the time as well. You know, we had just started into this pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and you know, here we are. Okay, now we've got a launch coming up upon us, and our teams did remarkable as far as you know, being able to work under those new deals. So it was pretty cool to see what we can do, and also pretty awesome to see our families and friends and the whole and pretty much all of America get behind that mission in May. So it's pretty exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, that was an awesome moment. That was like I watched all day long, and like half of that was just not the launch. Most of that was not the launch, and I'm like so excited. And everyone else is like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh, we got the launch today. First time coming back to launching from American soil. It's pretty awesome." And they're like, "Yeah, yeah." I'm like, "No, you don't understand. This is amazing. Like, it's gonna be this. The next time we land on the moon, and then when we land on Mars, will be the biggest moment in human history, and you better be ready for it because it's coming up soon." And so I totally agree. I think it's awesome. It's going to be great. We're going to Mars. You know, we're bringing that energy back. I'm excited. Everyone's excited. The Artemis is going to happen. It's going to be great. But before we do that, you know, we have our Crew 2 mission is what you guys are working on right now, if that's correct. And that's going to be going up, I think, is it April 19th or... Is that
April 22nd? Actually.
April 22nd. Gotcha.
At 6:11 Eastern. So early in the morning, it'll be a sunrise.
Nice, yeah. But you know, we can get up for it because we have to. We have to support this stuff. But the thing about Crew 2, very interesting. But NASA, JAXA, and the ESA are all represented on the launch. And that's very cool. And I kind of just want to ask you, like, what does that mean for America's status and its, like, access to space? Or I guess its status as the access to space, kind of. That's kind of
cool. Yeah. Well, this just goes with our partnerships that we have as part of the International Space Station, you know, the first word in the space station. So it shows that, you know, America is there to help build the backbone of the space station again, to continue that science. We want to make sure that that we're continuing all of this long-term human experiments that we can do on the space station so that we can learn more and be able to go to Moon and Mars and everything. So that's, you know, one of our things that we want to make sure that we keep those astronauts up on station, the American astronauts, working with our national partners as well, and keep those experiments going so that we can learn more. You know, always NASA, we want to learn more. We want to understand what's out there. We want to be able to prepare our missions that are going from Moon to Moon and Mars.
Of course.
But it is pretty cool. You mentioned, you know, the four astronauts going on Crew 2, they're all veterans, right, of space flight, I should say. So they've all been before. And even, and if you recall, Demo 2 capsule that Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley flew in, when they came back, they named it Endeavour. So similar to the space shuttle Endeavour, which, by the way, I worked on Endeavour. We could talk about that later. But I was pretty fond of, you know, it was kind of sentimental for me to be able to know that spacecraft was named Endeavour, my favorite orbiter shuttle as well. But also Shane, who's flying on this mission on Crew 2, also flew on Endeavour 2 on one of the last missions for Endeavour 2. So there's kind of all this connection coming back around. And so that Demo 2 capsule has actually been refurbished, and it's flying again on Crew 2. So we actually have a reused spacecraft and a reused rocket, a booster, what we call it. So the Falcon 9 has also flown before. It flew on Crew 1 mission, which was in October. So both the capsule and the rocket are also both reused. So that's pretty special about this mission coming up too.
Yeah, that is pretty special. And I think we talked a lot about on this show, we talk a lot about reusability and how that's essential for going forward, and how like people like Elon Musk and Blue Origin are creating things that we can reuse. Like Virgin Galactic also has their spaceship so that they can reuse and stuff. But that makes the access to space so much easier. And going into the future, that's going to be really important for like public launches and things like that, or getting citizens into space. And we actually have that going on. I guess this is a little bit of going off course, but the Inspiration 4 mission, which is going up for SpaceX, has all of the civilian astronauts. Is that something that interests you? Or you, is that a, you think that's a good thing, or is it a strange thing, or do you have any comments on it?
No, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I think I welcome all space flight, human space flight, any space flight. I'm interested in all of that. And I think it's good that, you know, we're turning towards the commercial space flight. I think that's what we wanted to do, and what we started out our charter was for a commercial crew program also, is to help foster that commercial space environment. So I think it's a good thing. You know, as me personally, I'm not interested in doing that anymore. Maybe if you'd asked me many years ago, I wanted to be an astronaut. Sure, I did. But I think I'm getting up there now, and I'm okay just staying on land and on water, you know.
Come on. Come on. You don't want to go up at all? Not even for like
If they gave me a ride, I probably would. Yes, I would.
Nice. All right. There you go. There you go. I'm glad. Yeah, that's fun. Well, the crew two is going to be, well, that's still the Dragon and the all those things. But there's another, I don't know what to call it, a vehicle that's coming out with the Starliner, the Boeing Starliner. Is that being used for, I guess you should just kind of take the lead on this, but I've always been confused what the Starliner is going to be used for. Is it going to be used for the Artemis program, the Orion capsule?
Or? No, it's us as well. It's commercial crew program. So we've contracted with both Boeing and SpaceX. So separate and separate space vehicles, right? So Boeing's vehicle is called the Starliner, and they're flying on an Atlas V rocket that ULA makes. So that's what they've worked out in a partnership with them. And that Starliner, you know, they're still working on getting it ready for its second unmanned flight, which should be coming up sometime in the summer timeframe. So hopefully we'll be able to get crew on aboard the Starliner by the end of the year here, maybe fall timeframe, and do a test flight up to the International Space Station with the Boeing rocket as well. But yeah, they're working pretty hard as well on getting ready for getting into those operational missions and being able to transport our astronauts up to the International Space Station.
So I think, you know, we have so many different companies that are coming out now with different ways to get into space, different access to space and everything. Do you think, like, as space opens up to more customers and with so many different companies competing, do you think the role of NASA will change, or do you think it will stay the same?
I think the role of NASA is already been evolving a little bit as far as the fostering of the commercial partnerships that we've had. So we've already enacted a little bit of a change, a little bit of a culture shift throughout the last several years, and not just relying on one major program like the space shuttle program to get all behind. So we've got various different programs out there. I think everything is changing in the commercial space environment. So NASA is also having to change as well. You know, opening up this commercial space entity is just, you know, it's opening up many doors for a lot of other companies out there to be able to transport to space. And whether that's via suborbital flights or to commercial LEO or, you know, wherever they're getting their access to. But it's, I think it's a good thing, you know, but what this is doing is that we're learning, everybody is learning along the way about what, with all the commercial flights, and allowing us to use all those lessons and everything and build upon what we want to do to go to Moon and Mars and go beyond. So we're kind of help playing that a little small piece in that big pie for NASA and getting us to those, some of those bigger missions.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's always good to just get more and more people to space. I keep on like saying, because we need people with those perspectives, and we need to keep normalizing going to space. Like, I think people think, and it kind of is, but it's it's tough to get there, but there are people that don't think that we're going to go to Mars, like, in their lifetime. They're just, they don't believe it. And when they see people go up to the International Space Station, even with the SpaceX stuff going on, the crew missions and everything, they're kind of in, like, disbelief that this is going to happen. And so I think it's good that we keep hammering away to the fact that, well, we're doing it. And also, you know, the Artemis missions are, they're getting on their way as well. Now, you don't have anything other than being in NASA. You are not dealing with the Artemis missions, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm really solely focused on commercial crew program. And, you know, I hear a little bit about it, keep up with it on the side. But all of my time is spent with the commercial crew entity. But, you know, I want to say really quick, if I can, is we need people like you, and I appreciate what you're doing, too, to help get the word out there for space. And you know, and we need folks like you to help promote it. And I think what you're doing and what, like you said, you watched the whole Demo 2 mission, you watched the Crew 1 mission, all of that was done very differently than what we used to show in Shuttle. So it's... you know, we're giving you kind of the inside look virtually to everything. It's giving you a little bit more of a perspective. And so it's pretty cool to hear, you know, the interest growing across our America, across the world on space. And, you know, that's what we want, is to share all of that. And it's new experiences, new horizons. You know, that's our goal.
Yeah, I think, well, number one, you flatter me way too much. Okay. You know, you're the one actually, like, helping these people get to space. So we need you. Okay, we need you. But thank you. I'll take it. I'll take the praise. But so going in the future, you're right. We gotta try to tell these people that space is important. We gotta convince them and everything. But when we look at the future of what, I suppose, the commercial crew program is doing, the International Space Station, I believe, well, it's getting older. But will the commercial crew program change as the low Earth orbit changes? Like, there's going to be new things going into space. There's going to be new stations in the future. Will the commercial crew program change with that?
Who knows? Maybe it will. We don't really have plans for that right now, but it may be. You know, right now we're really focused on being able to maintain that U.S. presence, the American presence up on the International Space Station, and keep that science going. So it's truly important to us to make sure that we can focus on getting those routine missions, as long as we do have the International Space Station, and to be able to use that as a hub for all of the learning and the science that we're getting from the International Space Station. So, but maybe so we can branch off. You know, we're already looking into some of the suborbital missions and whether our program can kind of help in that arena as well. So we're already starting to look into that. But there may be something else out there in the future. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. So the shuttle was, I think the shuttle gets an interesting rap. People are on board with the shuttle. They're not on board with the shuttle. But the shuttle took people to the International Space Station. It could haul Hubble up there. It could go up and fix Hubble. It could fix anything that needed to be fixed. It was a very unique spaceship. And now the commercial crew program is taking up that role of taking people to the International Space Station. Is it, you kind of just noted that it's kind of focused on the International Space Station, but is there any possibility that it would become something like that, where it could go and it could fix, like, the James Webb telescope or something? We could take astronauts up there and it could sit in orbit and everything, or is that not?
You know, it's not in our focus right now, but I mean, maybe so in the future, there could be some other agreements that work out some other contracts where we can work with commercial entities to help do some of that other maintenance going forward in the future. I mean, it's always a possibility. You never know. I mean, once we continue this for a while and keep these operational missions going, and then we'll see what's next and where we could go. You know, the shuttle was pretty unique in the fact that it was a cargo carrier as well as a crew carrier, right? Both in the same entity. So it could carry, it built the space station, right? It brought a lot of the nodes and everything up and all of the components for the International Space Station. So it could carry about a school bus size worth of stuff up to the International Space Station. So You know, that was pretty unique, and the fact that it could take the cargo and the crew at the same time. So right now we're really focused on taking the crew up there and maintaining this, the science experiments. It can take some cargo, but we have other missions that take the cargo up there.
Nice. Yeah. And the science experiments, that's like NASA all the way, you know, working on the future and scientific exploration. Do you know the specific scientific experiments, like, or just like the general scientific experience that will be going on when the Crew 2 goes up there?
You know, I haven't researched that, so I haven't looked into what they're. I'm sure really what we this crew trains for a lot is helping maintain the International Space Station. Is what you said, that that it is getting older, and there's some parts and things that need to be replaced, right? So a lot of what they do is a lot of training on the ground to be able to repair parts, to do a lot of what they call the EVAs, where they go on the spacewalks and repair various areas of the space station. So I think that's probably most of a lot of their main mission of what they've trained to do. But obviously there's science and all of that too that they'll be maintaining. I'm just not familiar with all. I don't remember all of the things that they will be doing.
Yeah, we had a guest on that said, you know, there's a lot of people that work at NASA, and nobody can know everything, every part about a mission, because there's just way too much going on. And that's definitely like the truth. We've come to realize that ourselves. So look, we've gotten through all the tough questions, Dana. That's the thing. You know, it's all easy riding from here. It's all nice opinion stuff, and we're going to talk about things. It's going to be great. But so when you start off, you said that you got into space as a young person, and you were, and we, I kind of want to know that story. Like, how you said you looked up at the shuttle, but you were in the shuttle room, so you must have been interested in space before that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How did you get inspired?
Well, this is another story I often tell too. Is my brother? I have an older brother, and he was always into model rocketry. I think I was more used for going and fetching the rockets whenever he launched them, but. Anyway, it was fun. I enjoyed, you know, learning about aeronautics and all of that, and started picking up from him because he was always interested in space and all things space. So I picked up a lot from him throughout the years. And then, you know, just being in school, just trying to figure out where do I want to go, what do I want to do. I kept coming back to space, you know, and I had a actually he was a history teacher in high school. And he also ran the space club, and he was one of the most excited people to talk to about space. And I thought, wow, that's really what I want to do. I mean, if he's that excited, yes, I need to go do it. So I did. I ended up pursuing that. I found a job at, like I said, at Kennedy Space Center. Started off as an engineer, and I'll tell you, I did still communicate with my teacher, you know, and brought him out for a launch or two. And he would come down here, and he was just so excited to see that, hey, somebody actually did fulfill their dream and start and work on the space stuff that he used to teach about. So, you know, I always enjoyed I was always interested in engineering, too. So that was another factor. My dad and I used to build things in the garage all the time. You know, my mom was a teacher, so she made sure I was on top of all my science and math as I was growing up as well. But so, you know, my family had a really big influence on me getting to where I am today.
See, that's nice. Now, look, is your brother in the rockets now, or is he like, is he going to pick up the rockets, you know, that you're firing off? You know, I hope that's the case.
Oh, that's funny. I can't wait till he hears that part. and no, he's not in the space industry, but you know, I do. We talk a lot, and he's one of probably my biggest fans as far as me fulfilling the dream. So, you know, and I do credit, he was the one really that got me started in a lot of the model rocketry. And I distinctly remember all of those times growing up where he showed me about how all the stuff worked. So, but pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now tell him to go pick up the Falcon 9 and bring that back. No, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think here at Space Jams, one of our big things is we like to inform and inspire, but also My mother, I wasn't too good at math. Not I liked science, not too good at it. But so I was a history English guy, and so now I'm a history major. But yes, I hope to be that person that excites my students to the degree where one of them will hopefully invite me to a launch one day. that's kind of my goal. So that'll be good. But we always like to look at different ways how people got to where they are. And, you know, we've interviewed a lot of different people with different positions in the space world. And we like to kind of figure out how they got there and what their journey was like and how maybe someone else could do it. So maybe you will inspire someone to become a deputy manager in the crew commercial crew program in the future. So that'll be fun.
Hopefully. And you know, my mom always, she always kind of winced a little bit when I told the story, but I was never a perfect student either. I didn't have the best grades. In high school, maybe I was, I had some good grades, but in college it was tough for me, but I stuck through it. Perseverance is the way to go, right? And just don't stop, don't give up. And that's what I did. And that's how I got the job. That's how I got started in the industry. And so I always tell that story, you don't have to be the number one in the class. You don't have to be in the top people in the class, to get where you want to go. Just keep trying.
Keep trying. That's the key. Trying and go get the rocket so then you can make him go get it in the future. That's the key.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a couple of model rockets behind me for the Air and Space Museum. I got to make the rockets and fire them off for something we got to do. So I got to do that later on. But I need to get somebody to go get my rockets when I fire them off so I don't have to do all that.
Don't call me up.
No, I won't call you up. But so you talked about, you said perseverance is key. Well, we have a little robot on Mars called Perseverance, and he landed there in February, I believe, and he just dropped off a little helicopter. Have you been keeping up to date with all of that, or are you?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, we're coming up on that milestone, right? For the helicopter. So I think it's going to happen, oh goodness, next week maybe, or I think if I recall. So that's one of our neighbor programs, that kind of works on that. So we work with them and talk, share our stories about what their successes are too. So yeah, I mean, we're getting there slowly but surely. We're getting there on being able to explore Mars and understand a lot more about what's out there so that we can eventually take our astronauts out there as well.
Mm. Did you watch the launch or anything? The landing of Perseverance?
I did actually, but I had to watch it after the fact because it was during a work day, yeah. It was in the middle of it.
Work.
Yes, I know. So I kind of came back and watched a little bit after the fact. I was getting updates, obviously, throughout the whole thing. I think we were in a staff meeting or something, and the program manager was kind of giving us updates on, hey, this is happening now. They're talking, and you can hear it, anyway, that was a pretty cool time for us, too, for NASA.
Yeah, and I think I really liked, well, one, it was another one of those moments. It was like a crew tube moment where I was like, a demo tube moment where I was like, this is great. Like, how are you not watching this right now? And what we were actually watching was, you could see the mission control and you could see the animation, which was really cool. I like that they're doing that. That's really fun. But I actually saw a picture of you and it seemed like you were in a mission control type setting. Have you ever been in the mission control type setting? Like while there's a launch going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my other favorite jobs was to be the flow director for Endeavour. So what that, working on the space shuttle, obviously, and what that entailed is overseeing all the work, the maintenance work, everything that happened to get the space shuttle Endeavour with the solid rocket boosters, the external tank, all ready for flight. So starting off as soon as Endeavour landed, rolled back into the hangar, started all the maintenance, getting everything together, working with the solid rocket boosters and the external tank, and making sure it all came together to be able to launch. So managing all of that and kind of orchestrating all of the schedules and timing and how everything comes together, all the work that needs to happen, that was a pretty cool time in my life. the whole team working together, a big team, you know, working on this space shuttle, but everybody came together and we celebrated all of our launches. We celebrated every success together. It was just a fun time in my history with NASA too. So really, really cool moment. So yes, I did get to sit in the launch control center, you know, for launch and work through. I was right up there with the launch director and we were counting it down, getting ready for launch. So it's good times.
See, I wasn't even in the, with Perseverance and with Demo 2, I'm not even in the room, but I'm like nervous. I'm thinking like, it's gonna, you know, the whole time up the loop, I'm like, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. And then I look over and I'm like, it's gonna be fine, right? And I'm like all jittery. I'm wondering like, what is your energy when you were in there? Like, was it like pumped? I mean, they all get pumped when Perseverance landed. They're like, yeah. It was like they're. Yeah.
You know, after you hit a certain milestone, there's always that, okay, I can breathe, you know, I can breathe deep, I can celebrate, you know, but there's always that nervous energy, you know, that you have heading into any of these missions, you know, and that's not just for commercial crew, for any of the test flights, anything that any of the other programs are also working on. There's always that nervous energy until you get to whatever milestone that is. You know, for me, sometimes it's almost until the astronauts open up the hatch of the International Space Station and they come through, then I'm like, oh, okay. Now they're good. They're okay. They're fine up there now. So, you know, it does take some time, but you know, we do get to celebrate once we get to those successes.
Yeah, I totally agree. My heart usually is okay, right when I see them open up into the station. Like when they're, you know, there's always that weird limbo, especially with the commercial crew, where they're like in the capsule and they're on their way to the station, and I'm always kind of like freaking out then because they're like in this little thing and they're on their way there, and it makes me all nervous. But
we're all about that same.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad it's universal. I hope they're not nervous. I hope they're just chilling. But yeah, so I guess one of our favorite questions to ask is, and I think I always get a similar answer, but why do you believe that space exploration is important, like individually, whatever, whether it's Perseverance, whether it's Voyager, whether it's the commercial crew? Why do you think it's important?
I mean, I think it's important because I think we're always wanting to learn more about our universe. You know, we're always wanting to learn more about what are the things that that we don't know. There's always the unknowns out there. So you want to try to figure them out and understand how can we live and survive in space for a long period of time? How can we, what experiments, what things do we need to do? What could we do to be able to survive out and live out there and thrive out there, so that one day, maybe generations from now, people are truly living somewhere else, whether that's Moon, Mars, another station or something. You know, I think that's kind of why we all are so focused on it and why we want to have a small part in and a contribution into the space industry.
Nice. It's a fabulous answer. I think usually it's always about everyone, you know, says that exploring is kind of natural for human beings. And I think that makes it, I think it's absolutely true. Like everyone wants to learn a little bit more, whether you think you want to learn more or not, you do. That's why if you're bored in school, it's because it's not hard enough. Okay. That's why you're not learning anything. So I definitely agree. Now, here's the other thing. So as part of the commercial crew program, part of NASA, another question we love to ask is, why should people care? Like, why should people care about the commercial crew program? Why should they care about, you know, the Artemis program and things like that? And then I'll keep the next question in the pocket. I'll keep it in the pocket. But how about that?
So why should people care? I think you know, the things that we can do and learn as in NASA, in the other international space forums too, the things that we can learn, we're always bringing those back to, you know, on Earth. We're learning new things. We're always being able to bring new stuff back and changing industry outside of not just space industry, you know, changing industry as we know it today. There's just a lot of things that that NASA has the capability to go off and study and experiment and research and be able to change the way we live today, from, you know, that your cell phones, you know, having your cell phone with you every day. NASA's made a contribution to having that capability, you know, and that's what space does for us, being able to have the satellites, everything up there to be able to let us communicate and the advances that we make today.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think most people don't understand that, like, a lot of things that they use every day has been come from the, you know, work at NASA and going to space and things like that. And they don't even understand that the phone is always a great example of that. And so, you know, there's all those types of things. And the more we explore, like, the more we're going to figure, you know, the more we're going to advance everyone else's lives. So I'm like 100% on board with that. I obviously think it's important. I know why people should care. But when I go up to people and they don't even know what's going on in space, or they're like, I think like some of it looks cool, I'm like, oh, come on now, we can do better than that. But yeah, so I think we have to make people more aware of how these things, how like NASA's work, how anyone's work in space can like truly benefit mankind or humankind. Come on, it's 2021, it's humankind. What am I doing? But yeah, so I'm 100% on board with you. I totally agree. Now, I know we talked that you didn't want to talk about science fiction, which is just a dagger to my heart, but don't worry about it. It's okay. I'll live. But I do would like to ask you what your favorite book is, perhaps. You know, any book it is, because we like to read here at Space Chams, and we like to hopefully make other people read. And if you got a good book recommendation, that always helps.
You know, I read a lot of Christian things. So the Purpose Driven Life is one of my favorite ones. There's a lot of things that I do read in my spare time too, and doing a lot of Bible studies on the Bible, things like that too. So I think that's usually what I go to for my reading every day.
Nice. There you go. Think about that. You know, Bible, one of the greatest stories ever told. It's always a good one. It's always a good one to keep in the pocket. Oh, man. Well, now we have a bunch of fun questions. So they're all good. I know I kind of said that before, but now these are the really fun ones. So the question I always go to is, if you could go to one place, doesn't matter how you get there, don't worry about it. It could be a moon, planet, star, black hole, whatever you want. Where would it be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. One place, where would I go? You know, while it's very, very cold, and this is on Earth, though, I'm all about exploring on Earth, too. I'd love to go to, like, the North Pole, even Antarctica, you know, just somewhere and see a place that's, like, abandoned. You know, that obviously we do have some science and things going on, but I don't know. That just seems pretty exciting to me to go there. Although, if you'd asked me probably 10 years ago, I would have said, I want to go to the International Space Station. I want to see Earth from out there. But as we had talked about earlier, you know, going out in space right now, maybe not my jam right now, but probably 10 years ago, I would have been all for just going out to space and being, but you know, every time I see the pictures, you know, that they take from space, I'm always amused by them. And I want to, they're just so beautiful. And I would love to be able to see that for myself.
Yeah. I think I want to say that I go to Mars tomorrow and like, you know, die there, whatever, you know, eventually like start the colony and everything and be one of those people. One, they're not going to take me. I'm not on the list. Okay. But two, I kind of want to do a long weekend on the moon and jump around and maybe do some Alan Shepard, you know, hitting golf balls. I think that's kind of what I want to do when I really think about it. So I'm kind of with you. Maybe go to Titan, see what that's all about, you know,
right.
Stand on some hills that are named after Tolkien characters, maybe do that, you know, that's something I might be interested in. But I totally agree. The North Pole is not one we've gotten before, but a lot of, you know, when I think of the North Pole and when I think about space, I think about space law and how the North Pole and the South Pole have both been kind of used as ways to go about dealing with space law and kind of possession and exploration. So I think that's kind of a cool thing that you're kind of going towards there. And I know that a lot of people are focusing on the poles as we deal with like climate change and things like that. They're like taking a strong look at them and seeing how they kind of affect our Earth as they go. So I like that answer. It's a unique answer. It's not one we've gotten before. It's a good answer. Good answer. Now, my final question, since I know we're running out of time here, how do we inspire the younger generation to get into space? You know, you said you had your story with a teacher, your brother and everything. You know, how do we do that today?
You know, I think I try to play my part as much as I can, talking to kids and trying to encourage them, even when I just, you know, the kids that I meet and see every day, and sharing like a NASA sticker or whatever it is that I have on me, and getting them interested in space. But I think what, you know, we're doing with our public affairs and trying to bring the launches to your home, to your phone, to your laptop, you know, to your TV at home, and being able to let you share, go inside and see what it's like when the astronauts are suiting up for their, you know, getting ready to go into the space vehicle. So I think the more that we can do that and inspire them that, hey, you know, one day I could do that, or, you know, you having people like me and some of the other folks that you talk to, you know, you could be also behind the scenes and maybe not an astronaut, but also have play an important role in you know, building that foundation and building these rockets and getting them ready for space travel. So, you know, just sharing our message, I think, and what we do with NASA, what these commercial space companies are doing too, which is also helping getting the community and everyone behind this vision of going to space.
That's fantastic. I agree that the commercial, the Elon Muskers are, it's almost becoming a cult. I'm pretty sure that when they get to Mars, they're just going to completely separate and they're just going to start their own thing. But we'll take it for now. I like it for now. It's all good.
But we have a good partnership now. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good partnership now. But once they get there, they're totally done. But yeah, well, that's great. I totally agree. We need people like you giving out stickers. We need people like you inspiring people. And I'm glad that we could have you on our show and highlight you. And, you know, it's fantastic stuff. And I hope you get to the North Pole one day.
We'll see about that. I think I'm okay in the tiki boat for now. I'm okay. What in the canal?
Take the tiki boat to the North Pole if you can. I mean, I
might take me a couple of years to get there.
That's all right. It's all right. It's fine. The it's a couple years. Tiki boat sounds good to me. But well, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show. You've given us so much wisdom, so much information, and we really enjoyed it. Do you have any parting words for us? Nothing. It doesn't have to be anything special.
No, I would just say make sure that you're watching our launch coming up in a few weeks on Crew 2 launch. Shortly after that, we're going to land the Crew 1 capsule as well. So by the end of the month, we'll be landing the capsule that flew in October. So it's pretty big time for us. So the next couple of weeks, definitely watch us on TV and keep up with us.
That's it, people. That's it. All you got to do is tune in to NASA, okay? But thanks for tuning in here with us. You can follow us on, I forget what it all is, YouTube, we're at Space Jams. Instagram, we're at Space Jams. You can find us on Spotify at Space Jams. It's always Space Jams. But thanks for tuning in today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And everyone out there, thanks for listening. And remember to keep on looking up. All right, so that'll be the end right there.
Okay.
Wow, you did really well. You never did this before? You're killed.
I like talking normal. You know, man.